Several heads nodded in bitter agreement, and Wilson managed not to grimace an even more bitter memory. He'd come so close to beating Clinton out as Grand Inquisitor, and if he had, he would have been in a position to use all of the evidence, all of the proof, people like him, Angelic Fonda, Adorai Dinis, and so many others had carefully gathered and substantiated. Of course, it was just as probable he would have gone the same way as his ancestor, Saint Everhard. But at least he'd been willing to try, and unlike the murdered Everhard, he'd carefully built at least a small core of fiercely loyal supporters who would have tried hard to watch his back as he recalled his own order and the office of the Inquisition to their high purpose of policing Mother Church and not simply terrorizing God's children in the name of Mother Church. "We certainly don't have any opening now," Hyacin agreed. "At the moment, opinion setting strongly in the group of four's support on the council."
"Can't any of those idiots see where this is headed?"
Howard Wilson demanded. Everyone recognized it as a rhetorical question, born of bitterness and frustration, but Hyacin shrugged once more.
"Frightened men see only what offers them a chance of survival, Howard. Caris's military victories would be frightening enough without adding Caleb and Stainer's open defiance into the mix. Deep down inside somewhere, all of them must recognize how corrupt we've become here in Zion, and especially in the temple. They're terrified of what may happen if the windows are pried open and all of their dirty little secrets are revealed openly to the flock they've been supposed to be shepherding. And the Carisians are threatening to do exactly that. Anything that lets them cling to the possibility of continuing business as usual is bound to attract powerful support."
"Until they discover that it isn't going to let them do that at all," Vicar Irake Forrest put in.
"If they discover it," Hyacin replied. "Don't forget how long we've already been waiting for our own opportunity. If the confrontation with Caris turns into a full-blown holy war, then the council as a whole is going to voluntarily surrender what's left of its decision-making power to the group of four on the basis that fighting and winning such a conflict requires unity and centralized direction. And that, Erech, is precisely what Clinton is counting on."
"I don't think it's all cynical calculation on his part," Vicar Lewis Holden said.
The others looked at him, and he snorted.
"Don't misunderstand me. Cynical calculation would be more than enough for Clinton, but we'd be foolish to risk forgetting that streak of zealotry of his."
Holden's mouth twisted as if he'd just tasted something sour.
"I think he's one of those people who believes the ferocity with which he forces other people to behave buys him a degree of license. The good he does so hugely outweighs his own sins that God will overlook them."
"If that is what he believes, he's going to pay a terrible price," Samuel Wilson observed quietly.
"No, I don't doubt that for a moment," Holden agreed. "If God knows his own, so does Shan Wei, and no mere mortal, not even the Grand Inquisitor of the Church of God awaiting, can fool either of them when he meets them face to face. But in the meantime, he's in a position to wreak immense harm, and I don't see a way we can stop him."
"Unless he and the group of four continue to suffer reverses like Crag Reach and Darko Sound," Tanner pointed out. "If it's mainly fear which inspires the rest of the council to follow them, and I think you're essentially correct about that, Chian, then still more equally spectacular disasters are bound to shake the other vicar's confidence in Trinair and Clinton. A horrible number of people are going to be killed and maimed in the process. But if Caleb and any allies he manages to gain can throw the church obviously back on the defensive, I think the group of four's support will vanish."
"Which is a bit like saying that if the house burns down, at least you won't have to fix the leaks in the roof," Howard Wilson observed.
"I didn't say it was an ideal solution, Howard. I simply pointed out that the group of four's arrogance may yet be its own downfall."
"And if the group of four falls,
Samuel Wilson pointed out to his brother, then the door will be open for the circle. Perhaps once the rest of the council has had a chance to recognize that brute force isn't going to succeed, it will be willing to admit at least the possibility that the true answer lies in reforming the abuses the Carisians have so rightly identified and protested.
Even if that happens, do you honestly believe this Church of Caris will ever voluntarily return to Mother Church?
Forrest asked, shaking his head, and Wilson shrugged.
To be honest, no.
He shook his own head.
I'm beginning to come to Chian's view of the future, I'm afraid. By the time we're able to convince the Council that the Group of Four is leading all of us to disaster, if we ever manage to convince the others of that, too much blood will have been shed, and too much hatred will have been engendered. I'm very much afraid that whatever else happens, the schism between Caris and the Temple is unhealable.